Ephesians chapter 4, if you go to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verse 22, Ephesians chapter 4. Now, again, we're talking about the spirit of poverty, and I'm going to share a lot of scriptures that you may have heard before, you may not have heard them, but we have to continually renew our mind. Pastor has to do that on a daily basis concerning the spirit of poverty and concerning God's provision in the earth. Amen? Look at verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Now you have to understand that your old nature is corrupted. It has been trained generationally to think wrong. It's been trained generationally to think in a poverty mentality. Now, when I talk about poverty, I'm not just talking about money. Money and the use of money or your ability to operate with money is a byproduct of who you are spiritually, who you are mentally, and who you are physically. Money is just a tool. You know, I had to go out and buy a pipe wrench to take care of a job a couple weeks ago. That pipe wrench just enabled me to fix this broken pipe or to get this thing that I was working on corrected. That's a tool. See, money's a tool too. And if you don't know how to use money, it may not be money's fault. It could be something inside of you to where you've been trained not to use money wisely. So when we talk about the spirit of poverty, we're just not talking about money. People have a spirit of poverty concerning love, concerning success, concerning peace, concerning, you know, their health. They have a spirit of poverty concern. You know, if you're sick and you're not healthy, that may be because you have a spirit of poverty concerning your body and understanding the what the Word of God says concerning healing. So when I look at this, and we look at this, I want you to know that you have got to put that kind of thinking off. That kind of poverty mentality you have to work on constantly. Please understand, people have been trained generationally. And generational curses flow from fathers to sons and mothers to daughters, or mothers to sons and fathers to daughter. And it just flows generationally unless those curses or that way of thinking is broken. And many people, because they've been trained over a long period of time, have trained their body to behave in a habitual manner. And, you know, they've done it for so long, it's like a second nature to them. Really, it's the human nature or the nature of sin that's been brought into the earth thousands of years ago, and it's just been multiplied and increased. And let me just tell you, today and today's families, children are taught instantly based on how their parents operate. Johnny, we can't have that. Mom, can I buy a new uniform for? No. Johnny, you know we don't have the money for that. You know, Mom, I sure would like that car over there. Well, Johnny, you know we've never had anything. How are we ever going to buy a car like that? You know, I can't even pay the bills I've got now. What is she doing? She's training that child how to think. She's training that daughter or that son how to think. Amen? Why? Because she was probably trained that way. So we have to understand that people have been trained wrong. And please understand this. It is never a person. People get under the influence of demonic spirits. If you'll remember again, Jesus, when he spoke directly into the eyes of Peter, and he looked at Peter and he said, "Satan, get behind me." He wasn't talking to Peter. He was talking to that spirit that Peter, because of the way he had been trained, lended himself to, that he was really sly. Let me tell you, Lucifer and all of his demonic angels, they're conniving. You know, they're like snakes. And snakes are what? They're quiet. They slip in and they slip out. Amen? So the spirit of poverty can slip in and slip out unless we constantly are renewing our mind concerning the spirit of poverty. Amen? Look at what it says in verse 23. Well, you got to put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. See, the old man is the man that is filled with a habitual way of thinking because he submitted himself at one time or another to the spirit of poverty. Now, the way you break the spirit of poverty is you begin to renew your mind with the Word of God. And when you begin to renew your mind with the Word of God, and I'll just tell you this, you know, I don't, we believe in, demons and devils, and we believe in casting them out. But most people don't need devils cast out of them. You know, if you're a born-again Christian, you got everything you need on the inside of you. As a matter of fact, if the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you, it's really tough for you to even hang out with demonic powers. So what happens? Well, after you're born again, we have to start renewing our mind. And many people put off to some demonic power what really is renewing the mind or training your body how to live correctly and understanding who you are in Christ Jesus. And that's a process. And see, many people, let me just share this with you. More and more people are teaching now, more and more pastors are telling me they're beginning to teach on process instead of events. Now, what do I mean by process instead of events? People are trained by the world to have instant success and instant events in their life. They look for instant event or an instant success instead of studying out or adhering to a process. Renewing your mind is a process and it takes time. You're not going to arrive in 2 days after you're saved. Let me just give you an example. It took Pastor Dwayne 18 months to learn how to quit smoking after I got saved. Why is that? Because I trained my body 15 years prior to that to smoke cigarettes. And I mean, I was a chain smoker. I was a Marlboro man. And it was, you know, I'm not proud of that, but let me just tell you this. It took some time for me to retrain my body. And as Christians, we look at different situations, different people. Maybe they're in poverty. Maybe they're sick. They can't take care of their body. Maybe they don't have faith in areas. And we automatically think, well, they're weak. They're not reading the Word. They're not doing this. No, the number one thing is they're not renewing their mind to what they have in Christ Jesus. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man. We have got to put on the new man. See, you're born again on the inside, but your body did not get born again. So concerning poverty, you can think with stinking thinking and be born again. Now, you're going to have a struggle, as Paul said over in Romans chapter 7. He said, you know, the things that I do in my body, I don't want to do. I desire to do other things. And the way we accomplish those other things in God is we have to renew our mind. We have to take control of our situations. We have to train ourselves about the spirit of poverty. We have to look at it in the mirror and look at ourselves in the mirror and just say, you know what? We can't live like this. We're not supposed to. We're supposed to look into the Word of God and see what the Word of God says about it. Amen? So it says you've got to put off the new man, which after God's created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, I want you to go over to 2 Corinthians. Look at chapter 9. 2 Corinthians, look at chapter 9. Actually, chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and look at verse 9. Chapter 8 and look at verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. Now what's that scripture saying? That's saying that Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords, created the universe. He owns everything. He is God in the flesh on the earth. He left his kingship, He left his divine authority. He left his rule in heaven, and he came into this earth, and he became poor. He became like you. He took on flesh. Now see, this is where most theology and most theologians go crazy. Jesus took on flesh. Why did he do that? He took on poverty. See, he took on the same circumstances that you face every day. He took on this human flesh, which has been trained to fail, amen, for thousands of years. He took on poverty that you could become rich. How did he do that? He came to show you how to destroy the spirit of poverty in your life. He wanted you to know that it is available and you can overcome the spirit of poverty because he did it. And see, the Bible says he was tempted in every way as you're tempted. The devil tempted him in every possible way. Remember when he was out in the desert? And the devil said, hey man, all you got to do is just turn this stone into bread. He said, look at all these kingdoms of the earth. If you'll bow down and worship me just one time, I'll give you rule over all these kingdoms. Remember that? He was tempted just like us. But what did he do? He came, and especially emphasizing in 3.5 years, how to overcome the world at every turn. So he became poor that we might become rich. Now I want you to go over and look at Proverbs 1. And let's look at some scriptures concerning poverty. Proverbs chapter 1. And look at verse 20. Proverbs 1 and verse 20. Now, please understand this. You say, now, Pastor, why are we teaching on this? Because we need to renew our mind. We will never accomplish what God wants us to accomplish if we have a mental picture of ourselves in failure, or if we have a mental picture of ourselves in poverty. Let me just tell you this. In ministering the gospel and converting people, it takes money. It not only takes money to do that, it takes a mindset of overcoming poverty, because if people see that you're acting under the spirit of poverty, or you can't overcome poverty in your life, how are we going to train anyone else? Amen? We have got to show other Christians how to overcome poverty. Well, how are we going to do that if we don't renew our minds? We have got to renew our minds. And let me just tell you something. Poverty holds you back from God's best. God's best is available for us right now. It's available in the room right now. Just as we mentioned before, God, everything that God has is available. There is more power in this room right now, in this atmosphere right now. There's enough power in this room right now to change the world. Now, the Bible says that Joshua stopped the sun. The Bible says that Elijah stopped it from raining for 3 years on the earth. And you think, my Lord, how'd that happen? They took the power that was available to them and they put it to work. So right now, there's enough power in this room right now to break every stronghold of poverty in your life. You've just got to tap into it. Now, there's enough power in this room, enough darkness, and enough spirit of poverty in here that if you tap into that power, it's going to become available as well. So what do we have to do? We've got to continue to look at what the Bible says. In verse 20 it says, wisdom cries without, she utters her voice in the streets. In other words, wisdom and the word of God concerning your deliverance in every area is available. It is available. Now let me tell you this. I know sometimes because of the way we've been taught, people struggle with this. Even I have to renew my mind every day, especially concerning the ministry, especially concerning our life, Tiffany and our life, financially. I have to renew my mind every day. I have to look into the Word of God every day where God's windows of heaven are open to where ideas, concepts, and insights can come into my life. Where are those ideas, concepts, and insights going to come? They're going to come through the Word of God. You've got to first position yourself to receive those. You can't position yourself to receive the open windows of heaven from God if you have a spirit of poverty on the inside of you. Because you're constantly going to struggle. You're going to waver back and forth. Because if you're born again, the Spirit of God on the inside of you is going to say, God's best is available. Read God's Word and accept what Jesus has done for you. Operate in faith and receive God's best. It's already been paid for. It's already been bought. Walk in faith. See, now God's Word says if you walk in faith, it's like walking into the executive suite at your office and acting like you belong in that executive suite. That's what faith. Now see, you may not physically belong there. You may be the secretary on down the corridor. And you may have been there 15 years. And for some reason, you never could get a promotion out of that secretarial pool. It wasn't because you weren't qualified if you're a born-again Christian. You're qualified. It's because you never saw yourself in the executive suite. And for us to see ourselves without the spirit of poverty, we have to read the Word of God. So we got to realize wisdom's available. There is enough information available for that secretary that's been in that secretarial pool for 15 years to gain insight on who she is, especially if she's been trained 15 years and how the office operates. She ought to know more than everybody. Amen? I mean, she ought to know how the executives work. Well, what's that tell me? It tells me that she ought to be in that executive suite. You know, there are people that stay in the same job for 20, 30, 40 years. And they're just okay or willing to accept the 6% increase every year. And that's fine. Let me just tell you this. Hey, let me just tell you this. Your job's not your source anyway. God's your source. See, God's your source. And when the windows of heaven open up and the spirit of poverty is removed from you, you are in a position to receive wisdom. Wisdom cries out. See, it's available right now. Everybody that's successful financially, the information that they use to become successful is in the earth, and it's available right now. Everybody that has a successful family, that has a successful relationship with all of their family members, everything necessary to achieve that is in the earth right now. See, wisdom's here. It cries out all the time. It's just whether you can position yourself to receive it or not. Now, go over and look at this, another scripture. Go over to Proverbs 6. A few pages to your right. Proverbs 6. Look at verse 9. Now, the Lord told us, says, okay, wisdom's available. Wisdom is available out there concerning increase in your life. Now, look at verse 9. It says, then the Lord says, okay, how long are you going to sleep, O slugger? When will you arise out of your sleep? Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Look at verse 11. So shall the spirit of poverty. Now see, it says poverty in the King James, but I wrote in over the top of that, the spirit of poverty. So shall the spirit of poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Now what's the Lord saying here? If you do not tap into what's available to you and you refuse to hear the wisdom of God and renew your mind, it's like going to sleep. And now this slugger right here, I don't know if you know what he's referring to, and I haven't studied this animal out, but there's an animal, it's over in the Asian continent, that they call a slugger, and it's the laziest, stinkiest animal. It lives in trees, and I'll do a more in-depth study on it, but let me just tell you this. It stinks. It never gives itself a bath. It eats dead stuff. It's so lazy it never leaves the tree normally that it stays in. And I mean, can you imagine a person that just stays on the couch all the time? All they do is watch TV. They come in from their job, man, they turn that TV on, and the first thing they do is they sit down. And from 5:30 when they get home until 10:30 at night, that's all they're doing is they're being fed with whatever's coming out of that television. Amen? Come on. What on Saturday, all they do, they feel like since they've worked all week, they have to treat their flesh. In other words, what most people say is, my flesh is going to take over on Saturday. Amen? And then on Saturday morning, when you're normally up at 7 o'clock going to work, you just go ahead and let go and give in to your flesh. And then what happens? You say, well, I'm just going to sleep till 1 o'clock today. Well, here's the word of the Lord right here. It says, how long will you sleep, old slugger? See, it takes us activating God's principles. And God says, if you do not take the wisdom that's available and you don't put it to work, that poverty will come on. Let's look at another scripture here. Go over and look at Proverbs 11. Look at verse 24. Proverbs 11. Look at verse 24. Now see, pastor didn't just pull a few scriptures out of glory and try and preach a message here. This is throughout the entire Bible. Now I'm just going to show you five or six good scriptures here to start with. Proverbs 11. Look at verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet increases, and there is that withholds more than is meet, but it tends to the spirit of poverty. See, when you do not operate God's principles and you withhold, then you become stagnated in your life. And it's referring really to a state of mind, just like we read over in chapter 6. You become a sluggard. You become sluggish. And when you're not activating God's principles, it tends to poverty. Now, he's referring to giving here. When you don't give, when you don't get up on Saturday morning and give somewhere, you know, or you don't get up and you don't go do something, then you're slowing God's process down. Actually, you're slowing God's ability to work through you. You're stopping it up. You're kind of like the dam that's stopping the river. God wants the river of life to run through you, but you're stopping that up. Now go over and look at this other scripture. Go to Proverbs 13 and look at verse 18. Now the thing about this, the more this is taught, the more the body of Christ realizes people that are in poverty, amen, we ought to be able to recognize it and we ought to be able to help them. We ought to be able to tell them, hey, this is what you do. But then you have to depend on the Holy Spirit and you have to depend on that person making a decision to change your circumstances. Why do we teach on this? One, because we cannot be a witness to the world when we are in poverty. We cannot be a witness. When the world out here is gaining wealth through all of the wrong reasons and through all of the wrong channels, it trains them that that lifestyle is okay. Because you know what? We were all created to be rich. Jesus said he came, he made himself poor that we might be what? Rich. Not just wealthy. And I can read you scripture after scripture after scripture where God's wealth is available to him who believes. Matter of fact, that's the heart of the Father. You know, Tiffany buys Chase, I mean at least once a week, a cool outfit. Why? Because she's got a certain picture of who Chase is in her mind. She would never dress him in rags because she doesn't have a rag mentality concerning her son. Amen? And every time she says, well, you know, I spent $20 on this outfit, or I spent $5 here, or I spent $7 there, the first thing I think is, well, I better come up with another $5, $10, $15, $20, or $50. Why? Because I want him to look good too. She may be picking the outfits out, but me, as a man of provision, amen, it's my heart to make sure that he's blessed. That's the way our Father is, our Father God. His mind, he sees the best. He sees you in the best all the time. He sees you driving the best. He sees you living in the best. Why? Because he knows you can't be a witness to the world without defeating poverty in your life. Because let me tell you something, most of the world, they're out there for the great mighty dollar. And many people are getting it, but they're getting it through the wrong way. They desire to be blessed too. And that's not, let me just tell you something. Money is not bad. It's the love of money which is the root of all evil. The Bible didn't say money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money. Look at this right here, verse 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that what? Refuses instruction. Let me just tell you something. Every time Tiffany and I get into a situation where we're lacking, and we're human, let me just speak candidly with you. We're human. We're new pastors. We've only been pastoring 2.5 years. In the ministry, when the ministry starts lacking, what's that tell me? What does the Word of God tell me? If the ministry is lacking, that means that I have refused some instruction somewhere. Some direction of the ministry we didn't start, or we didn't go, or we as a body didn't do what God told us to do. We didn't implement the Word of God. Maybe we were trained to do something and we just felt like we were going to sit on the couch. Maybe there's some things we didn't do, because God's here and He's available for increase all the time. Let me just tell you, a salesman, Stan Goss, which owns 4 More International, is a great salesman. He's got a multi-million dollar business all over the world now. He's really into network marketing, and he networks probably, 100, maybe 125 different products all over the world. And predominantly now, he's gotten involved in internet sales and setting up internet sites where he sells products. And the majority of his products are health related. Vitamins, supplements, different type of health type products, which people need. Vitamins are good for you. But he told me this. He said, let me just tell you this. He said, the reason most salespeople go broke is because they do not work the system. They refuse the instruction. When we sit in church and we refuse to invite people, we refuse to train people, we refuse to love people, the Bible says that poverty and shame will come upon the church. So if the church is ever in poverty, if the church is ever in lack, it's because we're not implementing what God told us to implement. See, most people, when they get involved in a faith-filled, supernatural church, they sit and wait on God. They think the supernatural will occur. They sit and they say, well, God's going to do this. God will do this for me one day. God will do this for me one day. I know this is in my life right now, but God's going to change it one day. I know God's allowing this right now, but, God will change it one day. And some people misunderstand the Word of God, and they actually think, well, God's trying to show me something, or God's trying to teach me something. No, you have to realize that God's going to allow what you allow. He's given you dominion. You're a speaking spirit. He's given you a body to go preach the gospel. And if the church is in poverty, it's because the people are not doing what God told them to do. Now, let me just tell you this. People say, well, it's that leader. It's that leader Robert, or it's that leader Ronnie, or it's that leader Sharon, or Israel, or whoever it may be. No, one person can't take down a ship. It takes a bunch of people being disobedient for the ship to go down. One person can't crash it. Amen? Let's look at another scripture here. So we see here, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction. But look what else it says. He's got a promise there as well. It says, but he that regards reproof shall be honored. So if you will regard instruction and listen and apply it in your life, things will change. Now let's go look at another scripture. Go over to Proverbs 20. Look at verse 13. We'll close. Got just a few more minutes here. Proverbs 20, and look at verse 13. Love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. In other words, open your eyes. Many people get tired. You say, well, I've worked 40 hours this week. Boy, I deserve a break. You know, I've worked 60 hours this week. I don't see how I'm going to be. My body deserves a break. Well, that's true. You should rest because God said you work 6 days a week, you rest on the seventh. Did you hear me? God said you work 6 days and you rest on the seventh. But most people today think I work 4 days and rest 3 days. Come on now. Isn't that how America's starting to think? I only work four. I'm going to work four tens, but really the ten that I work, I'm only going to put 7.5 in. A hard work. The rest of the time is going to be around the coffee pot. And I've put in my 40. See, we've trained ourselves, hadn't we? I put in my 40, so now I'm going to rest 3 days. God never said that. See, God said you work 6 days and you rest on the seventh. Let me just tell you this. I know men that are 75 years old that are as healthy as a 40-year-old man that are probably more active than I am. Why is that? Because they never stop. Every day they get up, they do the same thing, they go through a process. It doesn't matter. Let me just tell you about my grandfather, and I'll brag on my genes here just for a minute and just the way he was taught. You know, he grew up in the Depression. Now, he's gone on to be with the Lord, but he grew up in the Depression. And he grew up in a household of poverty in Oklahoma. And I mean, he lived poverty for up until he was 40 years old. But he finally got around a different type of people that started training him, you do not have to live like this. See, he had been trained on a farm in Oklahoma to live by just get by street. And he lived for 40 years like that. And then finally, he wasn't even a born-again Christian. He just got around a different atmosphere. And he began to see himself differently. And at 40 years old, my grandfather went to USC. Yeah, that's right. University of Southern California, the Trojans. And he got an electrical engineering degree at 40. After he got an electrical engineering degree, he went and started building homes. After he started building homes in the late 50s and early 60s, he went to Las Vegas and started doing security for all the casinos out there. And let me just tell you this, that man worked up until the day he went on, got born again, went on to be with the Lord. And I remember as a young boy, every time he would travel through and he would stop at our house. And this is the one thing I remember about my grandfather more than anything else. Every morning at 5:30, he was up doing something. He was fixing something. He was changing something. I remember one morning I got up to get in the shower and I couldn't get in the shower because he was putting new sliding glass doors. I'd never seen sliding glass doors. You know, all we had was a bathroom and a curtain. And he went out that morning and bought new sliding glass doors, didn't tell anybody, came back about 6 o'clock and started installing these things. And as soon as he got done with that, he had a little coffee break. Then he went out to the garage and started hanging pegboard. And then he went out doing this. And my dad thought, my Lord, I can't keep up with this guy. What happened? He had a mind. He had a change in the way he thought. See, he had lived in poverty, but he changed the way he thought. And he stayed busy. Well, look at the scripture again right here. Love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. The Bible says, open your eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Now, let's put that in modern lingo, and we'll close right here. If you'll open your eyes and look at the opportunities available to you, then you will always be satisfied with more than enough money to meet every need that you have according to His riches and glory. But you've got to see yourself that way first. Amen? Praise God.